Over to you, Tony.
Good evening, everybody. So originally, I think the thought was I was going to have a quick chat about retirement. And as I look around some of the faces here, not many, but some, I go, you've got it on me, guys. I can't really talk about retirement. So I then started thinking about the sorts of things that I've been up to over the last, kind of, my working life since a long time ago. And as I look back, a thought crossed my mind that actually one of the constant things that I'd experienced both in work and outside of work was this thing about conflict and communications. And not sometimes in a bad way either, sometimes in a very positive way to get the right result. So I just want to go through this. We've got 10 minutes and the clock's just coming up to 7, so I'm finishing at 10 past 7 and you can boot me out at that time. But it's somewhat ironic as I came to this topic that Thursday this week was not a high point in my life. The red mist descended, and I just want you to picture this scene. You're trying to park behind a co-op in Chandler's Ford. You've just found a spot. You've just got your car lined up. There's traffic going backwards and forwards. You're just about to go, and there's a car nips in and takes your space. I'm afraid the red mist descended. So what does the Bible have to say about this? Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be joyful to those who listen. So just to be clear, no profanity came out of my mouth. However, my wife was much less impressed with the way that I stormed off in the car and avoided a few pedestrians on the way. However, there was a time when I really avoided any kind of conflict like the plague. You know, it wasn't me at all. Quiet life, that was it. However, things really came to a head in a failing marriage. In brackets, this is not with Claire. My wife at the time was just not communicating at all. The only way that I could get any communication on anything was to start an argument. That's the only thing I could do. Eventually, we parted company, and that was it. It was a real learning experience, to put it mildly. But out of this, moving on, I questioned where I was going, and it was through Ian Shapey, who came to this church, who was a colleague at work. He invited me to come along to Eastleigh Baptist Church. I came to faith. I met my future wife. My best friend, actually, she came to be in the church and then became my wife. And the rest, as I say, is history. So from a conflict, something good actually came out of it in a bizarre kind of way. But I really did learn about this whole kind of thing about conflict resolution and don't let it fester. So why am I majoring? It's because through life and work, I've seen the benefit of working this through. And silence is most definitely not golden. It's not about festering away, but it's about good communication and getting the right result. Which brings me neatly to deacons' meetings. So this week, when was it? This week we had a deacons' meeting? Actually, you weren't there. Thursday, yeah. So I've had a break of about three years from deacons' meetings, and I've come back. They're definitely a bit more feisty than they used to be. And that's actually a good thing, with good reason. People are a lot more passionate. Everyone is involved. Everybody says their bit. They're all involved to get the right result and to serve our Lord. I've had the benefit of working with some of the most talented people in the business in my career, up to CEO level. And I have to say, I've had some exceptionally robust conversations with these guys. But as the expression goes, conflict can either be a pit or a path. Or to put another way, it can present challenges and opportunities. But you have to be careful how you approach them. Let's take a look at the Bible. Proverbs 18:13. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. So we often leap in without fully understanding, quoting St. Francis of Assisi, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand. Sometimes with an issue, we just don't know what we don't know. So we need to inquire and find out, often in saying, it might be a dumb question, but, it's probably my favourite approach, how does this work? actually, a simple thing is, I need your help. And then you put the individual in a different position entirely. Or you say, why do you think that? It just moves the conversation. In the old days, and some of us remember these things, in the days of draftsmen and plans, diagrams, etc., there was a box at the bottom right which always gave the designer's name, drawing number, etc., etc., and the date, and then written with those immortal words, if in doubt, ask. So don't assume anything. And frequently in conversations, we just assume. James 1:19. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So make sure you are listening. This is me talking now. So make sure you are listening and not just pondering your next response. My point in all this is appropriate. State your case. Be assertive but not aggressive. Be well informed. And if you have an issue with somebody, deal with it in private, not in public. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. And everybody knows the rest of this as well. Oh, and watch your emotion and language. Again, Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Two trigger words to really avoid, always and never. They just heap on the perceived faults of the past. Just deal with the day, what's happening that day. You always burn the toast, etc., etc. Just deal with what's happening today. Just try and keep that emotion out of it. It's not helpful. And as soon as you say something like that, the other person is away. So just picking up communication methods for a moment. These days we have got so many ways of going to things. So in my order of preference for dealing with issues, face-to-face, the telephone, and lastly, email. And yes, I'm deliberately ignoring texting. For the youngsters among us, WhatsApp and texting, forget it, sunshine. If you want to do something quickly and destroy a relationship, you can do it like that. You know, in a millisecond, because texting gives you that opportunity just to send something straight away. You don't give yourself time to think, and that's it. So email. If there's an issue, don't copy the world. It's so easy to start flame mail. Be careful what you write and take the emotion out of it. If you want to write an emotional email, then do that, but hold it for a day and then look at it afterwards and tune it afterwards. And don't send that emotional email. And then follow up. If you're sending an email, follow up with face-to-face or by phone. And an interesting study showed that folk only correctly interpret the mood of an email 50% of the time, but 90% of the people think they've got it right first time. So if you send an email and you think you're sending it in a very positive way, 50% of your audience are going to get it wrong. So be very careful how you do with email. They can't look at the nuances that you're putting into things because they can't see you. And as for smartphones, these are diabolical things, because you only see a tiny bit of the email, and that little bit of the email can really shout out at you. So again, wait 24 hours, or go to a computer, print it out, and look at it, and then you'll get the whole context, and you can deal with it differently. Next is the phone. It's amazing that folks caught up in the heat of the moment, they'll say stuff that they would never ever say face-to-face. Or indeed, they might slam the phone down. Guilty as charged. And then you have to eat humble pie, even though you're in the right. So keep it on an even keel. Lastly, face-to-face. You have the advantage of being able to see the body language. And remember, it cuts both ways. It's not what you say, it's what people hear. Focus on the facts, the issue, and not an attack on the individual. Be respectful. Humor actually works really well. Brackets, but not sarcasm. Lastly, the thing that can really cause a breakthrough is just saying sorry or I misunderstood. And frequently when you do that, the other individual will go, you know what, we've just come to this from the wrong place, and you can get it through. So at the end of the day, you know, we're in it to get a good result, and we need first to seek to understand. Just to give an example about people, we're all different. Not everybody, thankfully, is like me. If they were, we'd be in big trouble. So lots of different types of people, but the killer in all this is that we tend to deal with people as if we're talking to ourselves. But everybody's got a different approach to life. So let me give you an example. Claire and I have got a very different approach to decision making. I go, how hard can it be? Let's just do it, and that's it. Claire needs time to think things through, and that's fine, because if we're buying a house, it's a different equation, and we do, whereas I would just go, I'm bored with this, we'll take that one, which isn't the way to go. So when my company was taken over, the first hint of this was when we were taken to the conference centre in Bournemouth, 15th of March 2012, the Ides of March, but also my birthday. It wasn't a good day. At the end of the company presentation, I called Claire to let her know about the company do and what was happening. And at the same time, I said, as it's my birthday, what about an iPad? What I thought she said was, yes, dear, you deserve it. What she actually said was, let's talk this over. So you can imagine my surprise at her reaction when the iPad duly arrived at the doorstep. So to summarize, silence is most assuredly not golden. Don't stew on stuff, because if you stew on stuff, it stews in you. It doesn't go anywhere else, and it just winds up your temperature. Seek to understand, don't assume anything, and don't assume that the person you're talking to knows your full circumstance. Keep respectful, keyword, and work it through. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient, love is kind and not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And lastly, don't forget the power of prayer. Thank you.